This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, eight-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everidge. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Holy Moses Malone, ladies and gentlemen. Jake, what in the world are we going to talk about today? There's nothing that's newsworthy to talk about today. Dana Holgorsen, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, this is the Adam Carriker Show, the Lotus Show, the show that gives you unique insights, unbridled honesty, and producer Jake is awake, which he is today. We have a whole lot of fun in the process. Noon to 1 p.m. Central Time, four times a week. I'm live here at 93.7 The Ticket. Check out theticketfm.com, also CarrickerChronicles.com, Carricker Chronicles on YouTube. All right, ladies and gentlemen, grab your lunch. Come join us. And every once in a while, something bananas, cuckoo, crazy happens. Well, that's every day on this show. But you get the breaking news as I'm walking in the studio 2 minutes ago. I've got all this show prep that I've done. You know me, Jake. I've got all this show prep. I got this audio from Auburn basketball's flight that went just bananas, and they had to land it because the pilots were like scared they were going to crash the plane. I've got all this stuff, and then you find out. First of all, it's all still worth talking about. It probably just going to get pushed to tomorrow, but that's okay. We might still talk about the plane ride from hell. But Dana Holgorsen, ladies and gentlemen, if you have not heard, is now officially the new offensive coordinator at the University of Nebraska, at least for the remaining three games. And Rule, in his press conference. And as always, I'll give my reaction to Rule's press conference today. The headline is Dana Holgorsen, offensive coordinator, calling the plays. And Marcus Satterfield will be solely focusing on tight ends, which, by the way, I pointed out a couple times this year, wide receivers all over the place this year. Offensive line, wildly inconsistent. Quarterback, you know, he's a young guy but hasn't trended in the correct direction. We have all these talented running backs, but we can't get consistency. Tight ends have actually played pretty well. That's the one position on offense that's been relatively consistent. So Satterfield's going to focus on tight ends. Dana frickin' Holgorsen. All right, shook his hand, met him at practice last week, is going to be Nebraska's OC for the last three games, calling plays. And Matt Rule essentially said if he wants to be the OC next year, the job is his. He just, you know, he might get head coaching opportunities. Gosh, dang it. Hopefully that doesn't happen. Much love, Dana. We just want you here. All right. I think Matt Rule has said throughout the course of the bye week, and I quote, he's not running from Nebraska's problems, end quote, and he will also do anything he can to get Nebraska to a bowl game. I think he realizes how important it is for Nebraska to get to a bowl game. Not just because we didn't make it last year, we haven't made it in, you know, umpteen years, 2016, but because he would literally have to lose the last six games of this year to not go to a bowl game after losing the last four games last year. When the man said he's willing to do anything, this is unprecedented. How often is a former head coach brought in the middle of the season to your staff to analyze what your staff is doing as an analyst? That in itself is unique. You ever heard of anything like that, Jake?
I haven't seen it too often, though.
I have not. Chatted with a few folks. They have not heard of it either. Now he's all of a sudden your offensive coordinator. I mean, this is unprecedented. And with all due respect to anybody who's trying to do their job at the University of Nebraska as a coach right now, I am happy to hear the news. I'm so happy to hear the news. No disrespect to anybody intended. Facts don't care about feelings. We now have more hope than we did 20 minutes ago going into USC. It just is what it is. All right. Kind of like I'm an awful drawer. I can't draw things very well. I don't play instruments well. I don't sing well. That's just the facts. You bring me in to do the opera, it's not going to go well. You bring in an opera singer who's well accomplished, established, has a history of success, it's going to do much better. So my point is that Dana Holgorsen gives us reason for hope, optimism, things of that nature. And it's interesting because I had a couple things ready, actually, to talk about Holgorsen to begin with before I heard the news, literally 2 minutes ago. Nick Sainert's like, hey, you heard the news? I'm like, no. He's like, hey, man. And then he told me what was going on. I was like, all right, let's do this. Let's light this candle. But I had a couple things prepared anyways. So Dana Holgorsen has had six different times throughout his coaching career. He's had an offense that's averaged 500 yards a game or more. Now, let me be clear. I'm not saying Nebraska is going to go out and average 500 yards the last three games. Okay, take the progress with a grain of salt and realistic optimism for these last three games. What I'm saying is I trust the man calling the plays a little bit more. I believe the man calling the plays, this isn't even my belief, it just is what it is more accomplished, has a history of success when the previous OC, with all due respect, had one offense that was ranked top 40 in his entire career. The rest were below, okay? And Holgorsen, six times in his career, has had an offense that's averaged 500 yards or more a game. The opportunity or the percentage of chance of opportunity for success these last three games on offense has gone up. I don't even think that's inarguable, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, now, full disclosure, since 2012, he's had one offense that's averaged 500 yards a game or more. Okay, but the reason for optimism is legit, and I just got that much more excited for this USC game on Saturday. I actually did have a stat on Phil Snow as well. I was asked, some people asked me about John Butler, if Tony White's not here. You know, John Butler, what about him? Okay, he'd be a potential DC for next year if Tony White is somewhere else for some reason, whether he's hired as a coach, whatever, head coach, whatever the case may be. And that's an option. Certainly got a lot of experience. I know he was on a lot of people's radar. I do know Phil Snow, the last year he was at Baylor, they had the number one defense in the entire Big 12 conference. And that happened their first year, they were 1-11. The last year, they went from that within 3 years to the number one defense in the Big 12. Again, different than the Big 10. I completely understand that. I just came in with that stat, and I didn't feel like wasting it, to be honest with you today. But you look at some other things about Holgorsen's offenses. Because one big concern, air raid offense. They don't run the ball, right? Well, let's go through some stats. 2008, his offense has averaged 161 rush yards a game. 2009, 130 rush yards a game. 2010, 174.4 rush yards a game. 2011, 123 rush yards a game. 2012, 172 a game. The next year, 149 a game, basically 150. The next year, 2014, 183 rush yards a game. 15 and 16, they averaged exactly 228 rush yards a game. In 15 and 16, 2017, 150 rush yards a game. 2018, 161. 2019, 189. 2020, 143, 2021, 143, 2022, 142. Nebraska is currently averaging 124.9 yards per game. The last four games, they're averaging 2.8 yards per carry. And that was after I wasn't happy with 3.9 yards per carry the first half of the season. And then you drop it over a full yard per carry. So we're currently at 124.9. In all the years I just read, there's 2011, and that's it, that his offense has averaged less. And that's out of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 years. So that's 92.5% of the time. We're going to round because it helps the point I'm trying to make. And I can. 93% of the time, his offenses have rushed for more yards than Nebraska's rushed per game so far this year. And most of these aren't even close. 160, 175, 172, 149. That seems low compared to what he normally does. 183, 228, 228, 150, 160, 189, 143. Like 143 is like low on the low end of this. There's one year that's an anomaly of 122. All the other years are like, if you look at this, 148 seems low. 143 seems low. It's all about 150 or above. I have to imagine, since they don't run the ball a ton sometimes in these air raid offenses, that the yards per carry is better than 2.8. Does that seem like a safe bet there, Jake?
Yeah.
I love that. Just, yeah, that was great. So I tend to give these long soliloquy type answers, and I was being interviewed years ago by Michael Severe. He was on radio in Omaha. And I had these really long answers. And then he asked me one question one time about a particular individual that I didn't have a whole lot to say about. And I simply said no. And he goes, wow, your lack of words spoke so loudly right there. Sometimes one word can say 1,000 words. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm excited to see a couple of things. I'm excited. I'm going to talk out of both sides of my mouth, and I'm going to point to Jake, and he can tell me I'm a fool or I'm making sense. Oh, how in the world? I got to promote. Steve Taylor's coming in at 12:30 today. Former Nebraska All-American quarterback, two-time All-Big Eight. The man hosts the show from noon to 1 p.m. Central Time on Wednesdays. All right, here on 93.7, the Ticket, this very time slot. The loaded show, the loaded hour. Again, it's like you get a two-for-one with me. But he does a great job on Wednesday. He's going to join me live in studio at 12:30. That was already planned. It couldn't be more perfect. You got a quarterback. You got an offensive guy. You've got an All-American coming in. He's going to join me live in studio at 12:30 today. But I'm going to talk out of both sides of my mouth, and then Jake can tell me I'm crazy or somehow this made sense. Because number one, I know for a fact, per the conversations I've had, he's trying to simplify what they're doing in there. He's not saying, let's add a ton of more new things. Let's add more new drills, new all this new stuff. He's actually trying to simplify the less is more approach, especially with a young quarterback. It only makes too much sense. That being said, I'm curious to see what new wrinkles we're going to see at USC. Does that make any sense? I think he's going to simplify. If you've got like a playbook, if you're watching me on TV or on YouTube, you can see my hands. If not, my hands are like spread about 3 inches apart, mimicking where a big offensive playbook would be, okay? And you shrink it to like maybe an inch and a half thick. So you simplify, but then you just throw in like two or three new wrinkles. So you simplify, you throw in a couple of wrinkles. How did I do talking out of both sides of my mouth? Did that kind of make sense or not? Call me out if it doesn't make sense, Jake.
Well, it makes sense. I get it. You know, I like that. My question is, though, and you know, what I was wondering is Nebraska's offense right now overly complicated? When you say simplify, does that mean just kind of take out some plays that are working? Does that mean change concept? What does that kind of mean?
So I put out I call them clips, because sometimes they're shorts, sometimes they're reels, depending on what social media platform you put them on. So I just dub them all clips. I put out a clip, I think Saturday morning, whenever it was. And I basically just talked about, and it's something Michael Sevier actually pointed out a couple of weeks ago, and it made so much sense. Just like doing something as simple as getting in trips. It's a very simple thing for the offense, but it immediately creates problems for the defense, especially if you're in man-to-man. Then you go in motion, or you do a yo-yo motion, and you do it really fast, and the timing is impeccable because I don't know, you don't have 40 million plays. So you get really, really good, really, really fast, really, really efficient, and the quarterback can be really, really decisive, which has been challenging lately for him to do in these things. And something that's, you line up in trips, that's easy for an offense, but for a defense, you line up fast, you go in motion, you yo-yo, all of a sudden you shift, you mass shift to one side, you motion back. It's really simple for the offense, but for the defense, your mind's all over the place. I trained with guys who played at Oklahoma when I was getting ready for the draft, went down to Houston, Texas, and I trained for 3 months getting ready for the NFL Combine. I played with guys, we played against the Big 12 championship game. They flat out admitted, they're like, by the time you guys were done motioning and shifting, I had no idea who I had in coverage. Because Callahan's offense, we'd do it so fast, we'd snap it, and they were lost. Okay? So that's not things that are tough for the offense. Sometimes what I see us doing on offense, I see us putting a tight end who's a wide receiver at running back and telling him to jump from beyond the three-yard line into the end zone. When I don't know, give it to your 225-pound power back, run power and bulldoze into the end zone. Does that make sense? Like sometimes we get too cute, but for the defense, it's like, it's just a true freshman guy who was playing eight-man football last year. And I say that with all due respect. My dad played eight-man football, but I don't care if it's him. I don't care if it's somebody else. This is what's going to happen. And it's simple for them, but we try to get cute on our end. And trust me, if you're a true freshman who's trying to adjust to college ball and you're now all of a sudden a running back and you haven't done that, that's something that's going to be weird, new, challenging, and complex for you. But for the defense, it's like, oh, okay, you're not doing anything fancy. But all of a sudden, you can do these simple things on offense that appear complex to the defense and challenging to the defense, but it's just simple little things. Like you haven't even snapped the ball yet to do some of the things I've talked about. Does that actually make sense?
Yeah. I mean, I could see some confusion on the defensive side from that.
So for me, I think there's... And I talked about, and I'm not going to do it again out of respect for the guys who are still here, but I talked about, you know, potential like, quote unquote, dream team coordinators next year. Well, to be honest with you, two of them will be in place this Saturday with Tony running the defense still, obviously, and then Dana running the offense. And he did have a bye week to learn. And if I'm Dana, I'm not coming in wanting to run everything. I mean, how's he going to learn all that quickly? I don't care how smart and how long he's been doing it. How smart he is, how long he's been doing it. So for his sake, it'd be easier to simplify. For the offense's sake, it'd be easier to simplify. I'm tired of a two-minute offense looking like a four-minute offense because that's the opposite of what you're trying to accomplish. So for me, Dana Holgorsen obviously likes to throw the ball. He's really good at developing NFL-type quarterbacks. There's reason for some excitement and optimism. I don't know that we're going to go from averaging 18 points a game to like 40. Like, let's be realistic here. This is what his eighth day in back in Lincoln. Okay. So let's keep it realistic. What I'm kind of hoping here is that the play calls make just a little bit more sense. The efficiency with which we can run the offense can be improved, can be quicker, which can in and of itself be challenging for a defense. Just moving faster, being more efficient, being quicker with what you're doing, being more decisive. All right. I could argue that having a three-man route or a two-man route is easier than a four or five-man route, depending on who's a quarterback. And when you got a young guy, I'd rather have that extra fourth or fifth player in protecting the quarterback, giving him a little bit more time and just put three routes out there. If one of the three guys can't get open, that's an issue in of itself. So for me, those are some of the things I look at, some of the things I get excited about. When it comes to running the ball, yeah, the yards per carry average throughout his career as a play caller is vastly superior to what Nebraska's been doing so far this year. And they average throughout his career, I could actually tally it up here, but they average over 150 yards per game rushing, and it's darn near 5 yards per carry. All right, throughout his career as a play caller, whether it be West Virginia, Houston, Oklahoma State, and you think about the places he's coached, and with all due respect, they're decent football schools. West Virginia, decent football school. Oklahoma State, decent football school. Houston, on the rise as far as a football school, probably more power, more basketball known right now. But I get excited, potentially, you know, going forward, because we do have talented guys on this offense. We do. I feel like the size of our starting wide receivers has not been maximized. I feel like there's, and obviously Ja'Cory Barney was getting the ball more and more, and he had it 14 times last game, but a guy like Jalen Lloyd should get more opportunities. I'm curious to see, does Malachi Coleman all of a sudden see the field, a big, tall, fast, athletic wide receiver, somebody who blocked well last year. We don't seem to be able to block well on the perimeter. He can play all three games, not burn a shirt, red shirt I'm talking about. So for me, I'm curious to see who maybe gets more opportunities, who some of these plays are drawn up for now. I'm curious to see, does he use Harburg at all? I don't know. We'll see about Harburg. Okay. Maybe that's like a lot in a short time frame. Maybe within a week or two, there's more added to that when it comes to Harburg and what he can potentially do. I'm curious to see, how does that running back rotation look now? Dante Dowdell is a good running back, but he's a guy that's 200, 225 pounds, 6'2". He doesn't consistently run with that type of power and authority, though. He's always struck me as a guy that almost wishes he was a different type of back than he actually is. Like, embrace who you are, be what you are. You're a big, strong, actually explosive back for your size, but I don't see that power often enough. And for me, I've always thought Emmett Johnson should maybe be the starter, just that best all-around back. Okay, I'm curious to see what the running back rotation looks like. What's the pass-to-run ratio? Oh my God, what's the screen ratio look like? That's a bad joke right there. Too soon, I apologize. But for me, I'm just genuinely curious to see how this all works out. All right, you got any quick thoughts here, Jake?
Yeah, the other thing that I'm pretty excited about is Ja'Cory Barney and his usage, or maybe being able to unlock Jalen Lloyd, who only has 10 catches on the year. But particularly Barney, I want to see kind of, you know, like you mentioned, they're getting the ball more. Remember that Holgorsen was at West Virginia when Tavon Austin mm-hmm. ran for mm-hmm. 643 yards as a wide receiver. Mm-hmm. So could go back into that playbook and maybe dig a few plays out for Barney.
Yeah, Tavon Austin, I remember him at West Virginia. Receiver, running back at times, returner. Barney's about 170. I don't know about the running back stuff, but I do like some of the other things you mentioned. You know, you look at this USC game, and I wasn't going to dive too much into it today. We'll see what Steve wants to talk about when he gets here in a couple of minutes. But I've kind of dubbed that, and I don't want to dub it this, but I feel like it's like the pressure bowl. You know, USC's 4-5. Nebraska getting to a bowl game is obviously something that's uber important, okay? And in an era where players are opting out right and left, and all anybody wants to do is make the college football playoff, Nebraska fans were looking for that. I don't want to use the word progress or whatever the case may be, but there's got to be something that shows us there's a legit reason to feel better going into the offseason rather than, all right, let's make the yearly trip to the fridge to get the Kool-Aid, which is getting harder to drink every year. Like, we need a reason to get off my fat butt, I'll talk about, and go to the fridge and drink the freaking Kool-Aid all offseason. or at least sip it a little bit. Jake, do you guzzle it?
I have less over the years. I used to, yes.
So to me, this is almost kind of like the pressure bowl a little bit, because obviously Matt Rhule, he's feeling the pressure a little bit. You could see it last week in his press conference a week ago. Jake could probably have some of the notes from the press conference today. Is there much beyond the headline, which is Dana Holgorsen being the OC play caller?
Well, just that Dylan is going to give it a go Tuesday, and they are also preparing for Heinrich if Dylan can't go.
Okay. So obviously his back is still bugging him a little bit. All right. So you got Lincoln Riley's under the gun. They're starting a new quarterback. Matt Rhule's kind of feeling a little bit of pressure. Hopefully Dylan's able to go. So there's probably going to be a package for Harburg either way then, I would assume, potentially. Hopefully Dylan can play. And if I'm looking into next year, and I'm Matt Rhule, and I want to make sure Dylan comes back, by the way, all the conversations I've had so far to this point indicate that he will. Just FYI, I hadn't put that out there yet. I'm always hesitant to share things that are talked about behind the scenes, but I would look at a guy like Dana Holgorsen if I'm Matt Rhule and be like, that'd be a reason for him to want to stay, which again, I've heard nothing but good indicators that he wants to come back either way. By the way, Lincoln Riley's buyout is $90 million. So USC is not looking to get rid of him unless they absolutely have to. Like, I feel like this is a pivotal game for both programs, both coaches coming up this Saturday. All right, and I do believe Steve is on his way. We better go to our first commercial break. Nebraska former All-American quarterback, my Husker brother, Steve Taylor, will be joining us when we come back.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.